Well, kia ora, church family, and very warm welcome to all of our guests. We don't have visitors, we have guests, and this is home, and so we're glad that you came. We're really glad that you're here with us today, and my name is Richard, and I'm one of the pastors here, and once again, it's a total joy to bring the Word of God, and it's exciting, isn't it? Who's ready for the Word of God? Who's ready for some more? Best sermon ever? Not my sermon, Jesus' sermon. We're just doing our best to break it down. So if you're here today for the very first time, we have just taken a piece of the Bible where Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching his disciples what the normal Christian life looks like. If you like, Jesus is teaching a new normal. To him, it's the old normal. It's the principles and the characteristics of the kingdom. But this world has drifted away from that. And so he's teaching what a normal Christian life looks like. I hope you've enjoyed it. Today, after 15 episodes of his life-changing and life-redefining teaching, he now brings his followers to a point of decision. They have a choice to make. All those people on the mountain, there were Pharisees and religious leaders, and there were a lot of people that didn't follow God, just a crowd of people. But he went up there, the scriptures tell us, actually to teach his disciples. But everybody else was listening in. Jesus, the master communicator, included everybody at different levels in the same teaching, bringing them to a point of decision and choice. Now, we like choices, don't we? Who likes choices? You made a choice this morning to get out of bed, one foot at a time. I guess you made a decision this morning about breakfast. You were incredibly intolerant and judgmental because you chose cornies over Weet-Bix. Or maybe you had porridge. I don't know, but you had to make a choice, right? Guys, did you make a choice about your shirt? Did you stand there? Did you grab the only one that's ironed? Or did you have three or four and you chose it and then your wife said, man, that does not look good on you? Who here would fess up and say, hey, I tried on my one shirt, then I changed it for another shirt? Anybody? Now, girls, I know you and your shoes. I know shoes are just a big deal with ladies, or maybe handbags. Who here put a pair of shoes on then changed their shoes? Anybody? Girls, let's be honest, I do not believe it. We like options. We like choices. Isn't that true? You know, when we have events, we get invitations. I mean, I get them all the time. We get a Facebook invitation. We might get something in the mail. I've got an old-fashioned invitation in the mail to a wedding. And, you know, we just don't, you know, we got three or four on the, you know, and thank goodness for that maybe button or that tentative button, eh? Otherwise, we have to commit. And something better might come up. And I mean, like, heck, man, FOMO, like missing out. So we just kind of wait. Like, it's good to have options. And then we wait till the second before. Or we click, yeah, I'm going to come. Yeah. Nah. We like options. You know, when I was a boy, we had two stations on the television. Two channels. Television New Zealand, one. And Television New Zealand, you got it. Jeez, you guys are smart. On my TV at home now, I got 25. And that's not even counting Netflix, Lightbox. I've become a bit of a fan of YouTube now. I'm enjoying my MMA before I go to bed. Unbelievable, isn't it? MMA, UFC, combat sports. It puts me to sleep. I love it. I got options. We like our choices. We've got lots and lots of choices. What about potato chips? When I was just a lad, you know, 50, 100,000 years ago, we come up with one, but let's be, maybe two brands of potato chips. Does anybody remember Bluebird? Yeah. Now, maybe there's a little generational gap going on here because Chrissy could only come up with the Bluebird. But I think there was Eta as well, E-T-A, for all the... Okay, Eta? Okay, I thought it was maybe a Kiwi thing, but maybe it's international. There were two at the most. There's nearly an entire aisle full of choice, full of options. Lots and lots of choices. We like options, don't we? Just saying the word options feels good. Come on, let's say it together after three. One, two, three. Options. Beautiful. Well, not all choices are the same. We have short-term choices. Like what you eat today probably won't change the trajectory of your whole entire life. The shoes that you choose to wear this morning, if you've only got one pair, maybe you didn't have a choice. Or maybe come barefoot like someone else I know. Which is all good with me. You know, it doesn't really matter. Really, when we're going off to the mall, love you, mate. We're going off to the mall, we're going home from church, and we take a wrong turn. You know, maybe take a left before we should, and oh, wow, we didn't follow the GPS. There's a domestic on the front row of this car, and all the difference is 90 seconds when you get home. I mean, does it really, really matter in the scheme of things? No, it does not. But there are long-term consequences to choices, like what job you take. That can lead to opportunities to grow in your career. It can have you away from church on Sunday morning like some of us take. It can look at the salary. There's all kinds of things, but that's a big choice. The university you go to or the school you attend really has long-term consequences. What about this one? You ready? Who you marry. Oh, yeah. I went there. I mean, I always say, better 20 years in heaven than 40 years in hell. Marry the right person. True. Oh, I'm not married yet. Don't worry about it. You want heaven, not hell. It doesn't matter how long. Because a wrong marriage is just hell. Some choices are short-term. Some are really long-term. Short choices, long choices. But then there's also eternal choices. There are eternal consequences. And today, each of us has to make a very important choice. My objective today is simply to lead you to a point of decision. After the next 150 minutes, I'm going to simply ask you, choose. And in this particular choice, there's only two options. You can't turn back, it's just two options. There's not lots of potato chips, there's two options. At least that's what Jesus says. We like our options. We don't want to. But Jesus says, actually, Jesus is not pulling any punches. And I've got to be very clear, very, very careful today because of my temperament and my natural disposition to get a bit intense and a bit full on. And sometimes we don't always feel the love of God in it. But I absolutely want the Father heart of God to come. As I was preparing this message, I want to let you know that God, just in my heart, in me, and I believe for us, and I would actually go so far as to say the nation, I'll speak prophetically, that there needs to come a new sense of holiness in the church. Holiness. The question, the choice, the decision is so important. It's an imperative. It actually has eternal consequences. It's a game changer. And I wonder, will you make the right choice? Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And we're going to read from 13 through to 23, a good chunk of scripture to umbrella and encapsulate the entire teaching. Okay, if we can once again stand to our feet. Dear people of God, you know, there are some messages that we want to hear, and then there are some messages that we need to hear. This is like a visit to the doctor. He or she wants the very best for you. They've got pressure on their time, and they just say it as it is, and this is from Jesus Christ. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets, for who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from a thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears what? Good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Just in relation to my message the other week about judgmentalism versus judgment, we are called to be fruit inspectors. We are called, wisdom calls us to make wise decisions based on behavior. But prejudging intent and heart is a sin. All good with that? Listen to the podcast if we need to. This is Jesus once again echoing that idea that so we misinterpret the judge not. Of course, we have to be fruit inspectors. Only a fool would not do that. In fact, we do it every day, all day. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he or she who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. Dearly beloved, this is a message to the church, not to the world. Us. In church. And God says these unbelievable words. Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know about you, but that scares me. That can be in church, serving in church, even having the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing through our life and not go to heaven. Father, today, I'm asking you, sir, I'm asking you to speak to all of our hearts. I'm asking you, sir, to do something amazing. Lord, I refuse to stand here and try to entertain. What we need is the truth of the Word of God. We need you, Father, to change our hearts. Draw all of us closer to you, I pray, in your precious name. Amen. Okay, take your seat. Let's get to work. Okay, so there's two choices. Only two choices. The title of the sermon is Narrow is the Way. Now, if we're able to deal with a boom that's going on up here, I'd really appreciate this. Kind of like a boomy echo going on. Either that or it's my hearing, which could well be the case. There are two gates, and there are two paths. There's the narrow gate. We could open that up and talk about that, excuse the pun. The narrow gate actually is only one man's width. You can't go in with the crowd. It's an individual choice, and there's the narrow gate. It's not grand, it's very humble. It doesn't seem to offer a lot, but behind it is a narrow path with craggy rocks and leading its way up the mountain. There's no real lighting apart from the moonlight and the sunshine, and it leads to a tree at the top in the form of a cross. On the other side, it's a wide tree. It's grand. It's ornate. It's bright. There's palm trees. It's well presented, it's visually stimulating, and it leads. Oh, it looks like it's going to a beautiful place. There are two gates and there are two ways. The gate, one of these gates symbolizes, it's a metaphor for Jesus. Which gate do you think symbolizes Jesus? The narrow gate or the wide gate? The narrow gate. The narrow gate symbolizes Jesus Christ. I want you to notice what comes after the gate. It's a narrow path. And this is the subject of our examination this morning. You see, too many Christians enter the narrow gate, yet they take the wide path. How many people in church today once said the sinner's prayer, but their lifestyle doesn't look any different to the world? They watch the same stuff. They listen to the same stuff. They serve the same God of money. They act like the world. They talk like the world. But because they prayed a little prayer way back when, maybe when they're, you know, they're pressurized by their Sunday school teacher, they think they're okay and they think they're going to heaven. Now, I need to establish something very, very clear. We need to be super crystal clear. We are saved through faith in Christ alone. Can someone say amen? We're totally dependent upon Christ and His deeds for us to be saved. Make no mistake about it, it's His blood that atones for our sins. There is no good or pious deed that you and I can do to make ourselves right. We are hell bound. We are going to be in eternal separation from God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no multiple choice. All paths do not lead to heaven. There is one gate, there is one way, there is one person, there is one Savior, and that person is called the living Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way through salvation, and He is the only way to walk the narrow path. To be saved is to repent of our sins and turn from God and place our faith in Jesus Christ. Is that good teaching? Is that good Bible? Is that good theology? That is the truth. But it does not stop there. It's all about Him. It's all about what He does. But Jesus is not just the narrow gate. He is the narrow path. He's the narrow way. Unlike some of the feel-good preachers you can all find on YouTube and television, the scriptures teach and the early fathers all agree that evidence of going through the narrow gate is walking on the narrow way. Evidence that you've truly passed through the narrow gate, not the flash one, not the big one, the popular. Christians were never called to be popular. Jesus wasn't popular. Read John 6. He had a church of 5,000 people. And all He did through the entire John 6 is just cut away people. He said ridiculous things like, I am God. And whole groups of people left. And He was left with 12 people at the end of John chapter 6. And He said, boys, if you want to go, go for it. The church today is trying to grow all its numbers through feel-good messages and not necessarily presenting the full gospel. And people sign up to something, some kind of feel-good. But my dear friend, it'll cost you your entire life. It is worth it. If you don't like this now, you can feel free to go. There's a church down the road that'll give you just a feel good every Sunday. But Jesus calls us to make a decision. And the crowd up that hill didn't like it. He'd just gotten through teaching Matthew 5, Matthew 6, all the way through. He'd outlined all His manifesto for Christian living. And then He says, the decision is yours. Choose which gate and which path. We are that people. We need to choose. There are people in the church, maybe even our church, who say, oh yes, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. Oh yes, Pastor, I've passed through the narrow gate. And they look very much like the world. The only difference is they come to church on Sunday. Probably sporadically more often than not because they had some other better option available and they usually would come in a little bit late. And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and especially Saturday, my friend, there's no Christ in their dreams. There's no Christ in their passion. There's no Christ in their conversation. There's no Christ in their entertainment. They just are religious. And the very sad thing about it is they think they're going to heaven. There's a gate and a way. If Jesus is the gate, our lifestyle is the way. And our lifestyle is simply a collection of choices. What are you passionate about? Jesus? Really? Do you talk about Him? I'm not just talking evangelism, just the goodness of God, just Jesus.
He's in your passions. He's in your dreams. He's my dream is to do something for God. I mean, my dream and my passion and what? I did not watch that because Jesus wouldn't like that. We protect it. We love it. We that's what we do. That's what Christians should do.
If God is living on the inside, there will be evidence on the outside. It's called, the Bible word for that is fruit. You can't be an apple tree and not produce apples. I mean, he took a lot of time in the Bible, all those verses to tell us you can't be a good tree and produce bad fruit, bad and good. He's gone around the same point, the entire, about four or five verses here, just simply telling us. The way to tell if a Christian is fake or real, we hear a lot about fake news these days, whether they're fake or they're real, is you look at the fruit. If God is living on the inside, there must be evidence on the outside. It is a oxymoron. It's a not an intelligent statement to say a nominal Christian. You cannot have one. You're a Christian or you're not. And I have the hard task today of Pastor Richard, meek and mild. I've got the hard task to bring a word today that is going to force you, force me, to face the true condition of our heart, if our hearts are open to that. Because I know you can sit and just listen and then go. The narrow path is difficult, isn't it? Can I just stand here and confess something? Being a Christian often is difficult. A real challenge. Struggles. It's like three steps forward and one step back, two steps forward and two steps back. It's like you're walking the path and either side of that path is darkness and there's temptation and the devil's crouched right below that old brick path and he's tempting you and shouting at you about your past and about things in your life. And he's trying to get you off the path. It's a difficult path. I love what Matt Walsh says in his he's a blogger, a Christian guy who speaks into cultural matters, and he says, if you find it easy to be a Christian, you probably aren't one. I agree with that statement. I absolutely do not agree with many preachers who say, come to Jesus and everything will be fine. I don't think the Apostle Paul would say that, or Peter or James or Esther or Ruth or Jesus. Why take the path then? Because the scripture tells us that the path, the narrow path, leads to life. Life. Yes, it's hard. Yes, there are temptations. And yes, we make our fair share of mistakes, don't we? I know I do. It is hard, but I want to tell you something. The peace of God is better than any drug you can find. The joy of God, the closeness, the surrounding love of God is so precious. And that's just here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But when we get to heaven, it's the full expression. It's a full expression. I don't know if we can grasp it. All the songs of love don't even come close to the full expression of pure love. No pain, no shame, peace, indescribable peace. It's worth it. The struggle is worth it. I want you to think about life on earth, the 80, 90 years, if you're lucky, on earth. It is an apprenticeship. It's only an apprenticeship for eternity. So the hard times we have here, would you rather have a difficult and rewarding, but difficult and rewarding life for 80, 90 years and then eternity with God? Or do you want to have it easy? Do you want to have it's just too hard to be a Christian? It's just too hard. You know, I've got to roll with the boys. You know, it's just too hard. And then spend the rest of your life, eternity in hell?
Jesus very clearly, this message is anti-hyper grace. There's some people out there who tell you, you can live how you want. And because you said a little prayer when you're 8 or 9 or 10 or 21, you'll be sweet. No, you won't, friend. Jesus tells us that right here, right now. You can be in church, prophesy, and go to hell. I never knew you. Wow. That's a statement of relationship. Not what you do, but relationship. In fact, if you turn the whole scripture around, it starts off there in 22, 23. I never knew. Relationship produces fruit, which confirms we're on the right path. Everybody tracking me? It's beautiful. It's like an apprenticeship. It's difficult, but it's so really worth it. Do we have any university students here this morning? You guys doing your exams? Absolutely. Big ups to them. 3-4 years. It's hard, right, guys? You got to say no. Maybe some of us here who are not going to graduate should have said more no's. Like no to the movies. Like no. You got to make choices. You've got to make hard decisions. You see where I'm going? This is an illustration, people. Help me. After 3 or 4 years, you have the great privilege and pleasure of graduating. That's why you walk the narrow path. It's hard. Every hardship is God's provision to put some beautiful qualities and characters of heaven inside of you, to produce more of you, more of Him, sorry, in you. It's worth it. How do we tell if a Christian is real or fake? I mentioned the word fruit, and there's lots of this fruit of the Spirit. There's all kinds of things in the Bible. I just want to give you 3 of them today. 3 of them, because verse 15 to 21 tells us the way you tell a real and a fake Christian is if they're bearing fruit in their lives. There are 3 indicators, 3 tests I want to bring to you today, and you can determine where you sit. Number 1, a real Christian has godly sorrow over sin. If our sin does not move us with deep regret, we should be very much concerned. If we can just do that sin and not feel anything, that's a very dangerous place to be. And I have been there. And I begged God to change my conscience. I'm talking a few years ago now. Areas in my own life that God, see, it's beautiful. It says the gift of repentance is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. When we don't feel it anymore, we should be very concerned. The second indicator is passion for Jesus. I'm really surprised how many Christians are not passionate for God. You can just tell about their lives. All kinds of ways you can see that. Passion for Jesus. You see, would it not be true that experiencing God's forgiveness should produce profound gratitude and passion for Christ? Would that be a fair statement? When I think of the forgiveness that I've received, not just for salvation, but for stupid things and sinful things and mistakes that I've made, I am forever in debt to the Christ. And honestly, it's not hard to worship God. It has nothing to do with being a pastor. It's being a sinner who's been saved by grace. After my lying and lust and my all kinds of things over my life to remember, I hope I never forget. It doesn't have any more power over me, but it always points me to Christ. Lord Jesus, 10% is not a problem. Take it all. What are you passionate about? I'm passionate for Jesus, brother. Well, let's look at how you spend your time and your money and what you really worship. What gets you the most excited? The whole Karaka project just leaves me speechless. I'm just overwhelmed. We've even just in the last week seen things beginning to emerge, haven't we, in faith? Opportunities that are beginning to potentially present themselves, from reaching inmates to mums and bubs to Auckland, the migrants, and serving them and just using a facility to reach people. Welcome Hindu, welcome Muslim, welcome gay person, welcome old person, welcome. Those kinds of things just create such life within me. And I don't think I'm special, but I've never forgotten receiving God's forgiveness. He's protected me, sustained me, watched over me in the good and the bad, in the happy and the sad. The third indicator to know whether you're a real or fake Christian is godly desires. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. Being born again means you become a new creation. For behold, I am a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Being born again and it means that you become a new creation. And that naturally produces righteous desires. Our spirit that's been placed within us by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit within us longs for the things of God. We're eager to learn about God, like Bible study. We're eager to talk to God. It's like prayer. It's godly desires. But I find too many people in the church have a desire for a whole lot of other things, but they ain't got no desire for the Bible. And their prayer life is virtually dead. This should concern us. I'm sorry. I may be old school. I think I'm Bible school. But I get to church every week. If I'm not sick or not traveling out of town, it's a weekly thing because the Lord's Day is on the first day of the week. And last time I looked, the week was 7 days. But today, we want options, man. I think it's a lot more than options. I think it's something to do with the heart. At least Jesus says that. Wow. So here's the conclusion. Are you guys okay out there? It's a hard word. It's like the doctor telling you, maybe you've got cancer. If there is no godly sorrow over sin, and there is no passion for Jesus, and there's no godly desires, and there's no growing obedience for Christ, then the Bible says that you are not saved. Wow. If all three of those things are not present over the period of time, I know we go through moments, but some of us have been in a moment for like 5 years, 3 years, 1 year. You got the same Bible as me, same amount of hours as many other people. It's not a time problem, my family. It's a priority problem, maybe even a passion problem. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that, like this morning, I'm due to preach, right? I love to preach, but maybe I arrive like 50 minutes late. I wonder what's going on, and I rock up here, and the elders get me and say, Pastor Richard, this is not good. You're our leader. You should be here. I said, I'm so sorry, eldership. I'm so sorry, team. But when I was driving to work, and I was coming down that motorway, State Highway 1, and my wheel fell off, and my lug nut, one of my lug nuts went ding, 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 out right out into the middle lane. So I went out there, and I picked up the lug nut, and I looked up, and a 30-ton logging truck was only 2 meters away from me. So I'm sorry, I was a bit late, but here I am today. You would say, Pastor Richard, that cannot be so. You must be lying. You can't be 2 meters away from a 30-ton logging truck and be here at church. You cannot have that impact. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today, it is impossible to encounter Jesus and live the same. It is impossible to have a genuine, true, born-again experience with the living Christ and walk through the narrow gate and still live like the devil. It's impossible, my friend, to be left the same. You're a new creation. And if you're not, then you were not saved. I don't care if you're raised in a Christian home, a so-called Christian nation. I don't care whether you've given money to the poor. I don't care. What I care about is the eternity of your soul. And the question is, have you bowed the knee? Have you yielded your whole entire life and said, I want to make Jesus Christ not just Savior, but my Lord? And that, my friend, that brokenness will produce real change and a desire to walk the narrow path. You can't jump from one to the other. You see, it's got to be a supernatural thing. They're separate. We were all born because of sin. We were born on the wide path. You can thank Adam and Eve, our original father and mother, for that. I don't blame them because I think I would have made the same decision. That's how rotten I am. And I think you are too. We're all born here. The only way we get onto this path is through the narrow gate. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. During the last year of your life, the last year, has your life changed to reflect more of Jesus? Let me repeat it, because I know sometimes it's language issues. During the last year, not last week, we all have bad weeks, we might have a bad month, but over a year, has your life changed? Your lifestyle, your choices, your passions, your love, your desires, your hopes, your disciplines, your habits, have they changed to be more like Jesus? Pastor, are you talking about perfection? No, I'm not. Pastor, are you talking about a Christian who never sinned? No, I am not. I'm talking about a style of life that is lived out of a close relationship with God. And if we make a mistake and we slip off the narrow path, we repent. And as Hebrews 12, it's a beautiful picture. It tells us about a gracious God who will run to us, rescue us, discipline us, and put us back on the narrow path. Hebrews tells us. In fact, a son or a child, we sang about it, a child who's not disciplined by his father is illegitimate. He disciplines those whom he loves. Repentance is part of discipline. I'm not talking perfection. I definitely don't live perfection. I assure you of that. My family know that. But I do know when my foot slips off, either accidentally or willfully, usually, cry out to God, and the Father will come and He will lead me back onto the path. He's so good, so gracious, so beautiful. Can I close with this thought or this repeating of the scripture in verse 22? Such sobering words. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, this might be the saddest words in the entire Bible. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I've done my best this morning. Now it's your turn to make a choice. You can't take the narrow gate and the wide way. It's one or the other. You decide, my friend, as I have to decide for my heart, my life. Which path do you want to take? The narrow path that's difficult but leads to life? Or the wide path that's easy? It's easy. It's lazy boy, remote control, home delivery, takeaway food, easy. But it leads to destruction forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Not just destruction on the planet. While our hearts are breathing, our lungs are pumping. Our hearts are pumping and our lungs are breathing. Excuse me, doctors. Wow, what a moment. It's not just destruction now. It's being in hell. I'm not sure I can comprehend really what that means. An immediate bullet to the head would be a great act of grace in hell. But it promises us we're going to burn and be in torment forever. And I want that for no one. But what do you want? Can we close our eyes? I'll make this very simple. If we can just have a holy moment right now. I want to make this simple. There's two groups of people I want to talk to this morning. The first group of people I want to talk to are those who once walked the narrow path, but you've slipped down and you haven't found your way back. I want to tell you this morning that your kind and gracious God is inviting you back to the narrow path. If you want Him, He will run to you. He will rescue you. He will discipline you. He will restore you back on the narrow path. While eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if that's you today and say, Pastor, that is me, I'm going to ask you in a moment to put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. I'm not even going to ask you to stand. I don't want somebody to miss out on this opportunity because of fear of public, being in public. But this is a moment, your heart, your God. If you once were on that path, but you've slipped and you've moved down, whether it was accidental, whether it was deliberate, if you turn and repent of your sin and turn to God, He will rescue you. He will restore you. While eyes are closed, if that's you, I do want to pray for you. Please put your hand up at this time. Anybody put your hand up? 1, 2, 3. Anybody else? 4, 5, 6. Fantastic. You can put your hands down now. Thank you. The second group of people are those who have only walked the wide path, the path of destruction. You've never made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, but you can today. If you turn from your sin, turn to Jesus. He'll forgive you and cleanse you. He'll give you a new life. It's like being born again. The key to the lock is repentance. A change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction. On the count of three, if that's you today, you've not walked with God, you've just the path of destruction, but you want to give your heart to God, you want to become a Christian, a follower of Christ, on the count of three, can I get you to put your hand up, please, just as an indication, because I want to pray for you. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Hands raised. Anybody? Anybody this morning? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet if we can, please, family. Let me pray. Father, thank you for those hands that were raised today. And Lord, we thank you once again for the power of forgiveness. And Lord, for every hand that was raised, those men and those women, I pray, oh God, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would do its full work in their hearts. That, Lord, you'd identify any idols. That, Lord, by your power, you would deposit within them a fresh new passion. Lord, they would hear the call to holiness. Lord, I pray, oh God, that the hope of heaven would shine forth upon them as they get into discipleship, get into connect groups. Lord, they cut off certain destructive relationships. Lord, I pray, oh God, that there would be the fire of heaven raise up within them. That, Lord God, they would be fully devoted followers of Christ. They would be passionate Christians, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come and do a new thing in their souls. I pray this now in your powerful name. Amen. Amen.